Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. Hope everyone had an amazing, refreshing, delightful, and brilliant weekend.
I really had an amazing, refreshing, delightful, and brilliant weekend. I really did. It was so relaxing. Caught up on my Z's. Got some good sleep in despite the big belly. Watched a lot of great TV. Read a horrible book. So it was really all over the place. A little bit of everything. And I saw my friends. So I really felt like I
did it all.
Had a nice blend.
Balance.
Of activities.
Well, you love a blended moment.
You do.
I had an amazing weekend with one major...
snafu?
I wouldn't say snafu. I would say, like, ruiner. One big ruiner.
Okay.
Do you know what it is?
No.
On Friday night, I was out at a restaurant, and I saw Cuba Gooding Jr.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm in this restaurant that has, like, a bunch of different rooms. So, like, I'm sitting in this one particular room called The Grill, and he, like, pops his head in, and I'm sitting by, like, the entrance, and I guess he was looking for someone, so he pops his head in and, like, looks around and, like, fully makes eye contact with me. But, you know, I'm just, like, one of millions, so that he doesn't even recognize
You're
me.
You're just
like,
another butt to him.
Yeah, like, I'm not even, like, a thought process. And then I was, like, I was getting really drunk, and I was, like, I think I'm going to say something. Obviously, I didn't, but, like, I did go to the bathroom, and then as I was, like, making my way through the crowd, I got, like, stopped because, like, these people were just, like, mobbing, and I couldn't get through. And who am I standing directly next to? Cuba Gooding Jr.
Wow.
So it was a great weekend full of laughs, loves, friends, books, TV.
You guys actually have, like, very similar tastes in restaurants.
I see him everywhere. I saw him in the Hamptons recently.
That's crazy.
No, I know. It's very jarring.
Are you okay?
Yeah, no, I'm fine. But it did, like, rattle me, like, for a minute when I was in the restaurant.
That's rattling.
Yeah, it was just, like, very, like, a disassociative, is that the right word? Moment.
Yeah.
And fuck him, so.
Damn. Sorry.
Yeah, but other than that, I had a really nice weekend.
I'm so glad.
I, too, read a book that I hated.
I can't believe you hated. She read One Day in December, which if you're a reader and you like, you know, A Snitch's Choice, it's a classic.
It was so corny, and it was hella long for a while where nothing happened.
Like, it is pretty long, but if you like the book, then it's, you know, not long enough.
Didn't love the characters. Like, I'm like, why is, like, everyone obsessed with this guy Jack? Like, he sounds ugly. Like, the way they keep describing him, like, he's messy. I'm like, who the fuck wants to be with someone messy? It was just not my favorite book, but it did get me one book closer to my goal of 30, because I'm at 26 now.
So I am almost done with this book that I started, and I would have finished it if it were good, but, you know, I was avoiding it all weekend. Wish You Were Here by Jodi Picoult, and it is so bad. It's all about COVID. Like, I thought, it's more about COVID than I could have ever even dreamed. Like, first I was like, okay, it's about, you know, she gets stuck on this island because there's, you know, like the travel bans and COVID is in the background, which is like, okay, kind of interesting, whatever. Then it just completely turns. I don't want to spoil it, but it couldn't be more about COVID. It could not be more about COVID.
That sounds awful.
And I'm going to finish it because, like, I need to get to my Goodreads goal. And because I do want to finish it before I make a judgment, but I'm at 70% and I would not recommend this to someone that I love.
Okay, but you would recommend it to someone that you despise.
Yes.
Got it. Okay, I've got a few people I got to email the link to. Well, yes, it was a great weekend. Like, I had a good balance. Like, Saturday I was drinking all day. We went to the pier 17 rooftop mm-hmm. where they have those like cabins, and it was just, I'm sorry you weren't there, and I hate to like talk about it because I know.
No, I'm so glad you guys went and had a good time.
It was so nice. It was just a great way to spend the day, like in New York. It was gorgeous out. We played games. We were drinking in this little cabin. It was just a great Saturday.
And I feel like if I were going, you wouldn't have felt as comfortable bringing games because you would have known.
No, in our group chat where you said, I'm too tired, I'm not coming, I then was like, oh, great, let me bring some games. But then when I brought the games, Becky from the Redheads did let me know she also despises games.
But she put her differences aside.
We totally won her over. Like the camaraderie, the sportsmanship, and the sheer joy of the games was contagious.
Okay, I'm so happy for you guys. That's a great way to spend the day.
It really was nice. And then I got to spend all Sunday like cultivating a vibe and relaxing. So I think that's called balance.
That is balance. And you do love to see it.
You do definitely love to.
You do, do, do.
You do. Da-do.
Dew is here today and he's being like extra cute and like really attached to me.
So we have been alone since like Thursday, me and Theo, because his father flew south, and it's really just connected us in this like deep way. And I think that's kind of what you're feeling, like that energy.
Yeah, no, he's just being very emotionally supportive.
You can always, you can't count on Theo for a lot, but you can count on him to be extremely emotionally supportive.
Yeah. And you can count on Brew to be so handsome and charming.
So delicious and gorgeous.
So lovely. Everybody loves Brew.
We have an amazing show because, of course, we've got the Fast Five that we got to talk about.
And we've got some good shit in there.
Okay, good. It's always a toss-up. So it's so great.
You never know.
You never know. We're going to talk about The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City at the end of the TV recap. And I heard you had some other things you wanted to throw in the TV recap.
Yes, here's what I watch. I watch Sex Lives of College Girls.
Did you love it?
Love.
Good.
Oh my God. It was just like this beautiful little nugget of a show. And it was so spot on in terms of capturing the culture of college, especially like small liberal arts school in the Northeast, which is where I went. So I did feel very akin to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the like awkwardness and dynamics of freshman year.
Or it was palpable.
Yeah, it was really, really good. So, I mean, we can talk about it more in the TV recap. And then I caught up on Yellowstone on the new season. I had been saving it for a rainy day. And when it rained, it poured, and I watched the new season, and it is so fucking good.
Mm.
It is the best show on television. Like,
I gotta get into it. I'm just like not in the
mood. It's so good. It's so, oh my God. It was, and then the new episode was on last night, and so I just rolled into the new episode, and I love it so much.
Well, you rolled into the new episode, thus missing the season finale of Succession.
If I knew it was the season finale, actually, you want to blame someone? Blame Zach. Because
I knew you were going to say that.
Because we had like a date to watch it together at a certain time, and he just never showed up.
Well, to be honest, I watched the whole episode not realizing it was the finale, because it was episode 9, and like most HBO episodes have 10 episodes. Like, it was just randomly 9, but it was incredible.
Did
like,
something finally fucking happen?
Something huge.
Thank you.
And something so unexpected. Like, you're thinking, like, what? Like, it's just, it's not even remotely what I was thinking was going
to
happen.
Okay, well, I'm really excited to watch something happen on the show where nothing happens.
Can you just plug your ears for 1 second?
I don't know,
just plug your
guys.
Ears for 1 second. I want to say one thing to the people.
But then we have to put in spoilers in the thing. And, you know, I think people really appreciated that on the Sex and the City.
Even though
we're about to spoil Sex and the City again today. But at this point, if you have avoided spoilers.
You're
like,
out of control.
You obviously don't spend a lot of time on the internet and you're not listening to this podcast.
Oh, and you're not watching Sex and the City because it's been out for 4 days. So.
Yeah. No, but like it's everywhere now. So I'm sorry. We're going to just.
Agreed.
Get into it. Without further ado.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm going to watch Succession today. Does that work for you? Or like, it just takes away the fun?
No, it's just like everyone's talking about it today and we're not because you couldn't do it.
I didn't realize it was a season finale.
Neither did I, but still.
And also the show is really bad. It doesn't deserve my like live viewing.
It's still pretty good.
No, it's really, really bad.
Not every episode.
For a show that should be spectacular, it has everything. The storyline, the characters, the scenery, the, you know, HBO budget, it's not good.
What I think about Succession is like, yes, not every episode is like a bang out, like amazing thing. And some of the characters are so unlikable that when it's one of those kind of low key episodes, they're like laying groundwork for what comes next. You're just left with the characters. And like, I can't even find someone even remotely sympathetic. Like, I think the person I probably like best is Roman. And like, he's a freak, you know?
Yeah.
So you're not left with much on the episodes where there's not crazy high intense drama.
Yeah, I guess. But it shouldn't, like, it doesn't always need to be such drama. I'm trying to think if, like, Yellowstone is super dramatic this season, but it's always, like, crazy. But they also are doing like a lot of more cowboy stuff. Mm. And like a lot of, I don't know if it was always like this, but like a lot of music and like just scenes of ranching. And I think like just people love watching
ranch life. Did you see the interview with the actor who plays Kendall Roy that went like completely viral?
Where he like is talking about how serious he takes it and playing it like a comedy, but also like Hamlet.
Right. But also like people then thinking like literally he was in Kendall Roy while he was doing this interview because he's being so serious.
Yeah.
I haven't read it, but
it's a written interview, right?
I don't know. Yeah. Not a video.
Okay. Then I saw a clip.
Yeah. Snippet. I have to watch it because people are like obsessing over this interview. Like how the guy, what's his name, who plays Kendall? Like is Kendall.
Got it.
Which makes sense because I don't think anyone's that good of an actor.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Okay.
So now without further ado, to do, it is time for the Fast Five Stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
And today's episode is brought to you by Boll & Branch. The gift everyone wants is a better night's sleep, and Boll & Branch never disappoints with the highest quality sheets, blankets, pillows, and throws, plus their holiday packaging makes your gift look and feel special. So we preach about Boll & Branch all the time. My throw blanket, my pillowcases, my duvet cover, my sheets. Mostly everything on my bed is from Boll & Branch, and I've never looked back. As someone who gets very warm in her sleep, I find the material to be extremely breathable. They have a ton of different designs available. So many different accessories, too, like throw blankets and pillows. The signature hem sheets are the ones that I have, and that's their all-time bestseller. They're beloved for many reasons. They get softer with every wash. They're buttery soft, lightweight, and made with 100% organic weave that feels incredible at all seasons. It comes in a wide range of colors and sizes, and they go from a twin up to a California king. Treat yourself and your loved ones to the new standard in bedding from Boll & Branch. Their gifts come wrapped and ready in a special holiday packaging, and if you order by 12/19, you'll have guaranteed delivery by Christmas. Shop the holiday semi-annual sale from December 9th to December 15th and get 20% off at bollandbranch.com. That's B-O-L-L and branch.com. See site for details. Exclusions may apply, but their holiday semi-annual sale goes on from December 9th till December 15th and you can get 20% off at bollandbranch.com.
Wonderful. Our first story, spoiler alert, but it's time that you found out.
We're talking about Sex and the City, so.
Peloton responds to, and just like that, death with a new ad. And just like that, Mr. Big is alive. Well, at least in a new ad for Peloton. The fitness company released a commercial featuring Chris Noth on Sunday, just days after his beloved Sex and the City character was pronounced dead in HBO Max's revival series. So the new commercial shows Chris Noth and Jess King, who's a Peloton instructor.
Chris Noth?
I mean, it depends.
Okay.
Yeah, where you're from.
Yeah.
And Jess King, who plays Allegra the show, but she's a real Peloton instructor, sitting across from each other on a couch in front of a crackling fire. He says, to new beginnings. And then she says, should we take another ride? Life's too short not to. Then they say, and just like that, the world was reminded that regular cycling stimulates and improves your heart, lungs, and circulation, reducing your risk of cardiovascular diseases. Cycling strengthens your heart, muscles, lowers resting pulse, and reduces blood fat levels. He's alive.
So, you know that was Ryan Reynolds' voice?
I just found that out while he's reading this.
I was shook by that. I didn't really understand, like, why?
I don't know either. And I also saw that he posted the clip.
Me too.
And so I was like, oh, that's weird. Maybe he's an investor in Peloton.
That's what I was thinking.
But then remember when 2 or 3 years ago, I guess it was 3 years ago, when Peloton had that cringy Christmas commercial? Mm-hmm. And then, like, Ryan Reynolds, like, parodied it.
Did he?
For his gin company.
Oh, yeah.
That was a weird time.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, what is Ryan Reynolds' connection? He's now 2 for 2 on viral public Peloton commercials.
No, there's something going on between Ryan Reynolds and Peloton.
Yeah. Totally. Okay, but we need to discuss this. Obviously, genius marketing.
Well, you know what? SoulCycle snapped back first and put out like a
tweet.
Like maybe Mr. Big should have gone to SoulCycle.
Yeah.
And so, like, that was cute and funny, and it got, like, a lot of likes, and it was very, like, widely shared.
No, I'm sure social media managers across the world were quaking as to how to make the most of this opportunity.
No, millennials with, like, social media, with marketing degrees, like, were fully working this weekend.
Yeah, but no one got it better than Peloton. But this begs the question, like, was this filmed in the last 4 days? Or, like, has Peloton been in on this the whole time, had this plan? And maybe, like, HBO was like, hey, listen, we're about to, like, be slanderous as fuck. If you want to get in front of it.
Right. And so that was Chris Noth in the, he like looked kind of different. I was like, is that someone pretending to be Chris Noth? Cause I'm like, his features just looked off and I wasn't 100% sure.
By all accounts, it's him.
Yeah, you know, I believe that. So I definitely felt like it felt like they filmed it in the last 4 days, but not only do they have to produce, edit everything, they also have to negotiate a deal with Chris Noth. For, he obviously got paid to be like in this Peloton ad. Yeah. So that takes months. Like, I'm not sure.
I'm starting to feel like it was pre-planned.
Yes, but didn't Peloton post something like on Friday?
They had a statement. Yes, that was very like backtracky.
Right. So it seemed like they like freaked out, put something out, and then like had a few days and kind of came up with something better. Like, it did feel like it was all happening in real time.
I don't know, but like to execute these contracts, to get Chris to the studio, to film the commercial, get Ryan's voice. So I guess he could have sent in a voice note, but you know, get a video person sound, like, you know.
I mean, I guess it was just one shot and they literally like zoomed out. Like,
but it's high quality. Like, these things weirdly take a long time to do. I hope that we get clarity, but if I had to guess, I would say that this was filmed before Thursday.
I don't know. I kind of don't think so.
That would be crazy.
No, that would be crazy, and it would be very unlikely, but it did feel all very thrown together, like, with their initial, like, panicky statement, and now this, like, funny, lighthearted version.
Yeah, no, I feel like with this, Peloton is complete. Not that, like, it even should really have...
If you watch TV and think my Peloton's going to kill me, like, you need to stop watching TV.
Right. Or you were just not going to get on the Peloton to begin with, and now you have an excuse.
Totally.
But I do think that with this, like, Peloton, I hope the stock levels, because they don't deserve...
They didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is good to work out and exercise those cardiovascular muscles.
But you know what's so funny? Like, out of any brand, like, I feel like we're always talking about the Peloton stock here on the show. Like, it's always a topic of conversation.
Maybe because they're, you know, a newer brand that's like has relevance, that is public.
And they're also just like really part of like the cultural like zeitgeist.
And I feel like, especially with COVID, like Peloton is a real indicator of where we're at.
It's just like such a big part of people's lives.
Yeah. And like, it's a bigger part when you're staying home more. Right. So it's just like, I do feel like it's kind of a decent barometer for what's going on in the world.
Yeah, no, I agree. Like, the more we're talking about Peloton, like, the more we're staying inside.
Right. The higher Peloton stock is, the less we're going out.
Right, right. Down with Peloton.
No, I miss my Peloton. It's been so
long. You can't
do
it? Or you just don't want
to? No, I can, but like, why would I? Totally. I'm like a sloth on there.
Totally.
I might as well just be listening to music and sitting.
No, no. You're getting something done. You're getting your heart rate up.
No, but like, when I did it maybe like 4 months pregnant. I only did it once during pregnancy, and like, it was just pathetic. Mm. And now I'm like big. Triple the size. Yeah. It's just, I don't know what I would accomplish other than a bit of fun. But just even like putting on a sports bra is like not going to happen for me. And I don't even think I have one that would comfortably fit.
I fucking hate sports bras, can I just say?
I mean, they're a great tool, but I would have to buy, it would just be a whole thing.
Yeah. Also, if you're listening to this as a podcast, please know you are not getting pulled over. There's an incredibly loud, annoying siren behind us, but you're good.
I've heard louder.
We're going to continue on.
I've heard louder on this show.
You don't have to look in your rearview mirror. No one's coming behind you.
Yeah. Or maybe they are. Unless you hear two sirens.
Have you broken a law recently?
Maybe you should pause, make sure that there's not another siren coming for you. Are you ready for our next story?
Sure.
The Golden Globe nominations are here. We have full list.
What'd you say?
The Golden Globe.
This.
Oh.
I'm rolling my eyes. I fucking hate, like, these types of award shows, you know?
Oh, more than any. I hate the shows, but I do find interest in the nominations.
Yeah.
And also, everyone else hates the shows because Golden Globes will no longer be streamed on NBC. They will no longer be lively broadcasted. I don't know if they're going to be televised at all.
I think that's for the best, because you know what? We really don't care.
Yeah. No, we said we didn't care, and they now
And they listened.
That. And yeah, they know. But they're still going to, you know, go ahead with, I guess, having the show.
Okay.
Though this year's event won't be televised, the 2022 Golden Globes are pushing forward. On Monday morning, the Hollywood Foreign Press Association announced the movies and television shows nominated for the 79th annual Golden Globes Awards. Snoop Dogg helped announce the nominees. So even though they will not be aired on NBC, it's unclear if and where they would be aired. Maybe they're still working that out. We have our nominations. Are you ready?
Yeah, I just want to say that I do feel like this is like the beginning of the end for the Golden Globes, correct? Like,
I mean, God willing.
Yeah, from our mouth to God's ears. Mouth.
Like, and I just feel this way about award shows. I do think that between the Grammys, I mean, the Emmys are just like...
Grammys are great.
No, between Grammys, Oscars, Golden Globes, like, I would think the Golden Globes would go first.
Yeah.
And then I don't see the Oscars or Grammys going anywhere.
But see, the Emmys are unique in the sense that, like, they cover exclusively TV. So, like, they really are kind of, like, a necessary thing. Whereas, like, Golden Globes, like, TV and, like, get out of here. Like,
no, they're extremely redundant. And it's, like, a seated dinner and it just always comes off as so tone deaf.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to hear what they think are the top shows. So let's get into it. Best TV series, musical, or comedy. The Great, Hacks, Only Murders in the Building, Reservation Dogs, Ted Lasso.
Only Murders in the Building should win.
Yeah, honestly, those are all good shows, except, and a lot of people ask me if I watch The Great, because mm-hmm. it's about Catherine the Great, and it stars Elle Fanning, mm-hmm. and it's like a comedy about, like, you know, Catherine the Great in Russia. And I actually watched a ton of episodes and I really didn't like it. And that was surprising for me, and I think other people would be surprised by that, because you would think that that's a show that I would like. And I found it to be so goddamn annoying and stupid. And like, I do want to watch a show about Catherine the Great, just not that one.
Got it.
Best motion picture, musical, or comedy. Serrano, Don't Look Up, Licorice Pizza, Tick Tick Boom, West Side Story.
Couldn't care less.
Haven't seen any of those yet, but you never know.
You know.
Don't Look Up is that new one.
It's like a satire. It's on Netflix with, like, everyone's in it.
Yeah.
Jonah Hill, Jennifer Lawrence, Leonardo DiCaprio. I will be watching that.
Tick, Tick, Boom, I heard was good.
Andrew Garfield, yes. Netflix.
Yes, and West Side Story, which we have a story about West Side Story, so we'll talk about
that. Okay, because I also want to talk about West Side Story.
Okay, we're going to we actually will be talking about
the Ansel Elgort of it all. Like,
we will be talking about it. Best actor in a TV series drama. Brian Cox, Succession. That's Logan.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Lee Jung-jae, Squid Game.
Okay.
Billy Porter, Pose.
Okay.
Jeremy Strong, Succession. That's Kendall. Omar Sy, Lupin.
I haven't heard of that show, but great.
Yeah. Best Supporting Actress in a Motion Picture. Catriona Balfe, Belfast. Ariana DeBose, West Side Story. Kirsten Dunst, The Power of the Dog. Anu J. Ellis, King Richard. Ruth Negga, Passing.
Unfamiliar with all of those movies.
Yeah. Best actress in a miniseries or television film. Jessica Chastain, Scenes from a Marriage. Cynthia.
Oh, I do want to see that.
It's out. It's been out, right? Cynthia Erivo, Genius, Aretha. Elizabeth Olsen, WandaVision. I always mean to watch
Me
WandaVision.
Me too.
And then whenever I'm scraping the bottom of the barrel, it doesn't even cross my mind.
No, and like, we're just too late.
Yeah. Margaret Qualley, Maid.
Mm.
Kate Winslet, Mare of Easttown.
Mm.
Best actor in a miniseries or television film. Paul Bettany, WandaVision. Oscar Isaac, Scenes from a Marriage. Michael Keaton, Dope Sick. Ewan McGregor, Halston. Tahar Rahim, The Serpent.
The only one I've seen is Halston, and I didn't think it was Golden Globe Award worthy. Yeah. Whatever that means.
Best actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. Leonardo DiCaprio, Don't Look Up. Peter Dinklage, Serrano. Andrew Garfield, Tick, Tick, Boom. Cooper Hoffman, Licorice Pizza. Anthony Ramos, In the Heights.
So Ansel Elgort did not get nominated.
No. He did not. Best.
I don't know if he deserves it. I haven't seen it. I'm just remarking.
Best TV series drama. Lupin, The Morning Show, Pose, Squid Game, Succession.
Did Rachel Zegler get lead actress in a comedy or musical?
Nope. Mm. Nope, she did not.
So Rachel Zegler plays Maria.
Oh, yeah, she did. Sorry.
She did?
They have it out of order, yes.
Oh, good for her. Mm-hmm. So she, if you guys don't know, she plays Rachel in the new Steven Spielberg West Side Story, which is why I think there's all this kind of like hoopla for it, obviously because it's Steven Spielberg, but also because she's like this unknown. She went viral in this like gorgeous rendition of her singing Shallow by Lady Gaga, and literally she got the part from that. This is like her first major role. And I'm actually looking forward to seeing her in it. Like, I'm going to watch it definitely at some point.
Yeah, she's nominated in Best Actress in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy, along with Marion Cotillard, and who's in Annette, Alana Haim, Licorice Pizza. I'm assuming that's one of the Haim girlies. Mm-hmm. What's Licorice Pizza? I'd never heard of it.
No, and why is a Haim sister in
it? Sounds delicious.
It sounds vile, actually.
Jennifer Lawrence, Don't Look Up. Emma Stone, Cruella.
Well deserved.
And then Rachel Zegler.
Oh, Rachel Zegler must be so excited. Like, she literally was like, the video of her went viral. She was in a high school auditorium. She's like super young.
Yeah.
This must have just been like the most thrilling last year.
Yeah, very exciting. Honestly, there are so many fucking categories. I really can't continue to go through them.
Especially when we've seen like none of the films they're referring to.
Yeah, but I would say the biggest, most important category typically is best motion picture drama. Mm-hmm. Those are like the ones you can expect to see at the Oscars. And this is what we have. Belfast, Coda, Dune, King Richard, The Power of the Dog.
I heard Dune was literally one of the worst movies ever made.
Yeah, I didn't hear good things. Zach watched it.
Like, I just haven't, like, I've been saving, we have been saving all these, like, critically acclaimed movies to watch while we're on vacation at the end of the month. And so I really can't offer very much insight because I will only have seen them. Come the new year, I'll be full of insight.
But three of those I hadn't heard of.
Which? Belfast,
Coda, and The Power of the Dog.
Me neither.
So, I mean, that's, you know, enlightening.
Extremely enlightening.
Yeah.
I mean, congratulations to all the nominees. Good luck getting your award at a show nobody's watching.
Yeah.
But I wonder if they'll still do the red carpet and stuff.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get pictures and all.
But not, like, live for me.
Probably not. If it's, like, if the show's not worthy of a broadcast. But I feel like the show might wind up being broadcasted on, like,
GoldenGlobes.com.
Paramount Plus.
No, they're, yeah. First of all, there's literally no reason. So let's say whatever. They lost their licensing deal with NBC. Like, it ran out. Let's say that's the case. There's literally endless possibilities. Like, a million streaming services would love the exclusive. You could stream it for free on your website. You could have a sponsor. Like, what's going on with the Golden Globes?
Yeah. Maybe they just haven't figured it out yet. But I think it will be available to stream somewhere.
You do?
I do.
Okay, we'll see.
Yeah. Next up, a little more movie news. West Side Story falls flat at the box office with a disappointing $10 million debut.
Ooh.
Yeah, they were expecting...
In the weekend.
They were expecting like $100 million, and it came in at 10. They spent $100 million on the movie, and audiences didn't open their wallets to see the infamous rivalry between the Sharks and the Jets play out on the big screen. West Side Story, Steven Spielberg's remake of the classic musical, fell flat in its box office debut, collecting a paltry $10.5 million from 2,820 theaters. Despite its first place finish, the film's inaugural ticket sales are cause for concern because Disney and 20th Century Studios spent $100 million to revive the Shakespearean love story for modern times and stand to lose millions unless West Side Story endures at the box office through the holidays and Oscar season.
Okay, but like, are movie ticket figures back up post-COVID?
They've
like,
been up. There have been some big movies that really,
possible.
It's possible. I think that people thought that this would be one of those movies because it's, you know, Steven Spielberg, it's a musical, it's the holidays.
Yeah.
And even though, you know, there's more weeks to be counted, this is a really sad debut.
It is, but I'm not surprised at all because I really did not feel like lots of promotion was put into the, like, we, I know because I'm like such a pop culture TikTok freak, but like the story of Rachel Zegler, like, should have been hella public. I just feel like it was, like, actually, the movie had a great story behind it about Rachel, and I feel like there was, like, nothing really done with that. People don't really, I think, know the whole Rachel Zegler story. I think the promo was bad, and I think a lot of it had to do with Ansel Elgort. Like, I think, I don't know whether this movie was filmed before he was accused of rape, or they consciously cast him in it after he was accused, but they, like, refused to promote the fact that he was in it. So, like, how can you promote a movie without the main character?
Is he the lead?
Yes!
Oh, wow. I saw him. So, I saw some commercials for it, and I thought it did look really good. I think that the...
They flashed his face, like, once. Like, they're not proud of the fact that they cast him. So, yeah. Why did you?
I mean, what if it was already filmed?
Right, that's... But was it?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
It feels like we've been talking about this for so long, but also... Trying to figure out when the Ansel Elgort stuff happened.
It was...
It was like June 2020.
It was like a while ago.
Yeah, or July 2020.
Yeah, so I can imagine maybe people just didn't want to open up their pockets for Ansel Elgort.
You think? I just think that... I actually don't know what to think, and I think that this is where Hollywood is too, and also because, like, yes, the story of Rachel Zegler is beautiful. You know, West Side Story is a classic tale. It's a holiday musical. It's a big budget production. But it's also Steven Spielberg, and usually he puts asses in seats.
Right.
And so I think that's what people are really having a hard time wrapping their head around.
Do you think Steven Spielberg is, like, quaking this morning?
I don't think he is.
Thinking he's lost his...
I think he already got paid.
Yeah, for sure. No, actually, and you get a piece of... Actually, most, like, big actors, and I don't know about directors, like, you get a huge chunk of whatever the movie makes.
The better the movie does, like, the better for you. But, like, okay, so it's not doing well, like, big whoop. Also, I'm sure that everyone there is just blaming COVID and not really looking inwards and saying, why aren't we reaching people? Why don't people want to come see us?
Well, why? I don't know.
I don't know either.
Well, that's a problem they have to figure out, not us.
Yeah, because even though, like, movies are down, there have been some good numbers recently and things have been, you know, up. And you would have thought that something like this would have brought people out.
Well, I just want to say, I definitely think it has something to do with the bizarre promotion of this film having to do with Ansel Elgort. That's what I want to say.
Okay.
That's like, I don't remember seeing a big commercial. I don't remember, like, if this wasn't the case with Ansel Elgort, I feel like we would have gotten cute pictures of, like, maybe him and Rachel Zegler, and everyone's like, oh, yeah. Like, we got nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I only found out that Rachel Zegler was playing Maria, like, a week ago.
Yeah, but also she, I mean, for people who aren't, like, well-versed in the, you know, TikTok viral videos, she's an unknown actress, so that, like, the only name that they have to lead with is Ansel Elgort,
and they couldn't.
And they're not using it, so it's just like West Side Story with Steven Spielberg.
Yeah.
He's playing, like, every part.
No, and you know what? I want to say something hella, hella controversial. Is West Side Story a story that needs to be retold many times and, like, in different iterations? I can't lie. I've seen it, like, once a million years ago. I'm not entirely sure what it's even about.
I've never seen it, I don't think. But
it's one of those movies that they always redo.
Yeah, but it reminds me of that, you know, Bring It On iteration, the Sharks versus the Jets.
100%.
And maybe this weekend, spending your time watching that.
Such a good
film.
If
you want a modern retelling of West Side Story in an impeccable way, I would watch. I think it's Bring It On, All or Nothing.
Two is Hayden Panettiere and Solange Knowles. So it must be three.
No, that's not even two. Two is, All or Nothing is Hayden Panettiere. Wait, hold on.
Okay, and that's
Bring It On, Sharks vs. Jets. This is like four or five.
It's so twisted.
In It to Win It.
Yes.
You guys, that's the one.
I have to say, I think the Hayden Panettiere, Solange Knowles one, like, might be better than the original.
No, it's so fucking good. So many good ones. Bring It On Again is number two. And you've seen it, but it's not incredibly memorable.
I don't think I actually have seen it.
If I showed you, yeah, like, it's about a sorority. And
I've never seen that.
No, you have. I know that you have. Because I've seen everything you've seen.
But I'm just telling you, I haven't seen it.
Maybe you fell asleep, but, like, you saw it.
No, I'm telling you, I've never...
No, that was a bad picture that I showed you.
I've never been in the presence of that film.
No, I know that you have.
Okay, what's the premise of the movie?
Like, they're in their college cheerleaders.
Okay.
Competing.
I'm telling you, I've never seen it.
Okay, fine. Anyways, Bring It On, In It to Win It. Like, Steven Spielberg, maybe you should watch
it. Maybe you should revive that, Steven. So, yeah, I am surprised by this, but, like, not really. It's just been, like, a weird movie that seems, like, cursed.
Do you want to see it? Like, when you saw the promos and stuff, were you like, ooh, I'm itching to see that?
Kind of.
Me like too.
That song. Do, 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 do. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd like to see it as well.
Yeah.
Hopefully it'll be streaming somewhere soon.
Yeah. It's on my list.
I feel like that's also, like, people just want to watch from home.
I know. It's like, I do love going to the movies. Can't remember the last time I've been.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite activities. I never go.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because my particular movie theater is just, like, sad. Like, no one's there. I'm, like, always the only one in the theater, and it's, like, boring. And, like, they don't even have a working soda machine. They have a bottle of soda, which is just unacceptable.
I do prefer a bottle, so
no. It's just, like, low budget because, like, they haven't been open in 6 years. So it's, like, there's tumbleweeds across the floor. I'm, like, what is going on?
Yeah. Well, if any of you have watched it or saw it, let us know what you thought.
Yeah, and let us know why you think it didn't do well at the box office.
Yes.
But you know what is doing well at the box office? My skin. Thanks to Curology.
It's true.
Curology customizes a prescription formula with three active ingredients picked for you to help tackle your skincare needs. Whether that's trying to take control of acne, fine lines, dark spots, breakouts, clogged pores. You start Curology by answering online about your questions. And if it's a good fit, then Curology will match you with a licensed dermatology provider who will get to know your skin, and subject to consultation, you get a customized prescription cream to be sent straight to your door to address the acne, fine lines, dark spots, and more. So again, your skin is more personal than comedy. And there's really no reason why we should all be using the same products. We all have completely different skin. We all have completely different problems. We have different textures. So Curology is making dermatology personal. And it's fabulous. I think I'm on, like, my second delivery of Curology. The consultation, the questionnaire is actually very, very in-depth. It asks you a lot of questions. You upload pictures of your face. It's super in-depth, and it feels like they're really getting to know your skin. You can start your Curology journey just like we did with a free 30-day trial at Curology.com/toast. If prescribed, just pay $5 for shipping and handling. That's Curology.com/toast to unlock your free 30-day trial. Cancel anytime. That's Curology.com/toast.
great. Our next story, some exciting legal news. Kim Kardashian passes the baby bar exam. She's one step closer to becoming an attorney. This morning, Kim announced that she, OMFGGGG, I passed the baby bar exam. Kim had previously failed the exam 3 times, but had COVID during one of those attempts. And now she has passed and is on her way to becoming an attorney.
I'm so proud of her.
Honestly, and I hate to like even admit that, you know, I was a doubter, non-believer, but I was starting to think that it just wasn't going to happen.
I know, because I remember reading somewhere like some lie that said this particular route she's taking, you're only allowed to try to take the baby bar twice. Like, if you don't pass it either time, like, you're out.
Well, that was clearly a lie.
That was clearly a lie. So she passed on the 4th time. We love a queen who doesn't give up, who perseveres beyond challenges.
Which is, like, really so admirable.
But you know what? Like, and I think Kim probably feels this way, too. Like, she's been so public about this whole journey. And, like, in order to get there, she has to pass this test. And there was no way this bitch was not passing this test. Like, the world was watching. People made so much fun of Kim. Like, oh, you can just buy your way into being a lawyer. She took the harder route, and she's doing it. And I think she was not going to give up until she did it. She was not going to let, like, everyone who doubted her be right.
Right, but I think also ever since, you know, like, the first time that she failed, when we were all, you know, so excited, and then the second time she did have COVID, I think, you know, these last 2 times, like, she's really been working in silence. And she was like, you know what, I'll share good news when I have it. But like, and I think that's the best way to go about things, because it puts even more pressure on an extremely pressure filled situation.
But you know what, there's all these things happening with the Kardashians that I'm like actually really looking forward to the Hulu show. But they had said, they promised, I heard them say in an interview, like, this time we're gonna have much faster turnaround times. So when there's something going on in the public eye, it's not gonna be a year before we're able to address it. But, like, you know, shit has gone on in the last 6 months, and, like, there's still no fucking show. But they're technically filming?
Yeah, I heard somewhere, like, Khloé say early 2022 we can expect.
Okay, so, but then we're going to be talking about, like, Kim and Pete, because I know they've been filming, like, the Kim's, the Pete stuff. And that's going to be, like, 6 months more. Like,
6 months is, I mean, it's better than what it's
been. If Love Island can do it, Hulu can do it.
Yeah. I think they like having a little buffer, though.
Breather, yeah.
Because it makes it less
of a big deal.
Yeah. And by then we're all like kind of checked out and onto the next thing. And it's like, oh, we cared so much about that then. It wasn't a big deal.
And like, we're over it.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm excited to watch this journey for Kim. I'm really proud happy of her. And proud of her. And like, that's really fucking hard. So
role models, role model,
role model. And speaking of role models, our 5th and final story, Time's 2021 Person of the Year is Dr. Theodore Fitchemin.
And to celebrate, we've prepared a song. It's the final story. Sharks vs. Jets is a timeless story. Yes, it's Elon Musk, isn't it?
No, it's really Dr. Theodore Fitchemin. Thanks to his major contributions to the medical field this year, Dr. Theodore Fitchemin has been named as Time's 2021 Person of the Year.
We couldn't be prouder.
Everyone, he sleeps his way to the top. And he's just an example.
To us all.
To us all. But the runner-up was Elon Musk, the world's richest person and Tesla CEO, has been chosen as Time's 2021 Person of the Year runner-up. The publication announced on Monday, December 13th. So this is a big deal, Elon.
I mean, it is. There are only, like, so many people in the running for, like, Time's Person of the Year. I would say he's probably, like, one of, like, 15 people, you know? Mm-hmm. Because you think of, like, businessmen, politicians, activists, like, there's not that many, like, who are all the way up there. Mm-hmm. So Elon was definitely, if you had asked me, like, who would have, he was definitely in the circle of people. But I still am very shocked by this.
Yeah, I'm shocked that they're giving him, like, the credit,
I feel like,
that he deserves.
People hate him.
Like, people do hate him. Like, haters gonna hate.
Yeah.
But, I mean, he's my person of the year. He's my person every year.
Can I tell you, not to be mean, like, I'm not loving the photo they chose. I don't really feel like it does him justice.
I agree.
I think he's cuter than that.
I agree. And it's, like, extremely serious. And he's, like, kind of goofy.
No, and it has this, like, really unflattering spotlight on him that's, like, showing all his fine lines and wrinkles. Like, it's just rude.
Yeah. No, like, he needs curology.
No, he needs curology. And he just needs, like, airbrush like everyone else. Like,
yeah,
what's no, with this really, like,
harsh. It's harsh.
Suddenly they're, like, Aeropostale or, like, one of those brands, like, you know, we don't airbrush.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's definitely harsh, but I don't think Elon is,
cares.
He's probably not even seen the picture. He's, yeah, you know, he sat down for an interview, which I'm excited to read. And I think he's probably, you know, I don't think he gets too in the weeds about stuff like this. No. But I'm sure it's nice to be recognized. You know?
Yeah. I mean, like, I know he's this, for, like, this controversial figure because he's the richest man alive. But when you really think about what he's contributed to society, especially through Tesla and then all the space stuff, it's very impressive. It's, like, you have to recognize that you do.
No, he's out here being a genius. Go Elon. Go Elon. It's your birthday. Go Elon. He's the Albert Einstein of our generation. And I would hope that Albert Einstein would be on the cover of Time.
I completely agree. And
that's how I feel about that.
I completely agree.
So, anyways, speaking of Teslas, and this will be a nice pivot into our TV recap. When Jenny,
I knew exactly what you were gonna say. Carlin,
when Carlin pulled, like, rolled out of the Tesla
Lamborghini,
like the
style.
Doors open, I was just like, this is all my favorite things.
No, I literally knew exactly what you were gonna say.
Okay, but let's launch into the TV recap,
which is brought to you by Bite toothpaste. Do you know that over 1 billion plastic toothpaste tubes are thrown out every year, ending up in landfills and oceans? That's 50 Empire State Buildings worth of plastic every single year. And Bite is reinventing personal care by making products that are good for you and the planet. Their hero product at Bite is the dry toothpaste tablets that come in a reusable glass jar, and the refills come in home compostable pouches. So you just drop one in your mouth, bite down, and start brushing your teeth. It'll foam up just like regular toothpaste, but with no plastic tube and no messy paste. It's really actually a very premium experience. I know you think, like, I've been brushing my teeth this one way my whole life. How will I change? It's actually very easy. And if you travel a lot for work or otherwise, it's actually really much easier to use when you're just hopping around. And it's actually a really fabulous product that you never, like, think about, but it really makes a huge difference on the environment. They're made with clean ingredients, no harsh chemicals, sulfates, or artificial dyes or flavors. Their sustainability and clean ingredients are at the center of everything they do. They are certified carbon neutral, cruelty-free, vegan, and palm oil-free. All their packaging and shipping materials are refillable, recyclable, or home compostable. So if you care about the environment and like to have delicious breath, check out Bite Toothpaste. They are offering our listeners 20% off your first subscription order. Go to trybite.com/toast or use code toast at checkout to claim the deal. That's trybite.com/toast or use code toast at trybite.com for 20% off your first subscription order.
Elon would love Bite.
Ooh, breaking news. Miss India has won Miss Universe.
Oh, amazing. Congratulations.
Okay. Salt Lake City was like such a messy episode because these women just can't fucking stay on track for one goddamn thing. Like, suddenly we're all just so invested in Mary. And okay, maybe that's a conversation worth having, but like, can we just hear from Jen first? She just got out of jail.
Yeah, it was, I don't know if it was just because I'd spent the whole day watching Yellowstone and then it was just like such a stark difference.
It's possible.
But all, like, it was just all over the place. And I felt that way last week too, where it's like, I don't know where my loyalties lie. Like, so many people, like, half the time make sense, half the time make no sense. And I just, there's no one that I can really ride with. And when it comes to,
I think the person I can ride with is Meredith.
Yes, but she's pretty disengaged from the situation. But when it comes to the Jen situation, I'm feeling so conflicted about all of these, like, legal things airing out on reality television. And I just want to talk about it because when, so I watched a little bit of Watch What Happens Live just until the first commercial break. Jeff Lewis and Lisa. And it's like, if this were your actual friend, so I guess if you're one of the women, but it's hard to tell, like, to what degree they're actually friends.
Friends or coworkers.
Right. So that's weird. But in general, like, if this were your friend and they were going through something like this, like, what is the moral thing to do? Is it to stand by them or is it to not? I mean, because really you are innocent until proven guilty, but it's like, I don't know, Jen. So I'm not in that position, but as a viewer, it's like, I don't know what I expect these women to do. And then Jeff Lewis was talking about how when Todd Chrisley was going through some legal drama,
okay,
which I don't know what the drama was.
Okay. Me neither.
But he said,
oh, they had some tax stuff.
Okay.
So which is so different.
He said when Todd Chrisley, like, was going through it, like, Jeff reached out and Todd was like, you know what? You were actually one of two people who have reached out to me. Mm. Like, all of his celebrity friends turned his back on him. And it turned out that Todd Chrisley was proven innocent and, like, that wasn't, you know, he made the right move in reaching out. But, like, what if he was guilty? Then should you have not reached out? Like, how do you preempt these things? I don't know what.
I think you just need to really gauge it based on, like, how well you know the person. Like, if this was my friend, let's say, like, someone I really had a friendship with, and they said, I didn't do this, like, I would, of course, believe them.
Yeah.
I don't think Jen has given a single woman in this group the reason to believe her.
Yeah.
She's been manipulative to them about, like, dumb shit before this. She's been mean to them. She spread lies about them. Like, so why would they have any cause to believe you now when the FBI is at your door?
Yeah. I don't know. I'm just like, I don't like, it's just too much for just casual Sunday night viewing on Bravo.
Yes. But you know what it really did make me think? Like, I had a lot of problems with how Erica addressed everything, but she fucking addressed it. Like, this delusional conversation she's having with Sharif, like, I didn't do it. Like, what? Like, you have absolutely no idea in the entire world why a SWAT team showed up at your house. Like, I just find that very hard to believe. So, like, this La La Land, like, oh, what? I saw my business partner, Stuart, and now pretending like she don't even know Stuart.
Right.
I'm like, this whole fairy tale delusional story she's telling is actually making me extremely grateful for the directness we had from Erica, honestly.
Right. And also, we know in present day that Stuart, like, has pled guilty and that he is, like, working.
Giving them everything. A deal.
So there was nefarious business transactions going on.
Obviously. And she's literally just trying to dump this whole thing on Stuart.
Yeah. Well, she's just trying to distance herself from him. And it's like, wait, what? We just watched you put a banana in his mouth.
Yeah, like, so I'm just frustrated with that because these, like, if the women in Beverly Hills didn't do it, these women are certainly not going to be able to.
No, instead they're focusing their efforts on Mary. Like, because Jen has been proven to potentially, allegedly be a fraud, let's look at Mary.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I definitely think there's something worth, like, talking about. Like, I could see Mary's Church being in a documentary on Amazon in a few years. Like, there's something there for sure.
Yeah.
But can we just take things one step at a time? There's no need to rush.
Yeah, I agree. It's a lot, and it's a lot to keep up with, and...
And I feel like I can't get behind anyone. You're right. Like, with Heather, I'm like, you're the biggest loser I've ever met in my life. Like, oh, Jen is now being accused of heinous crimes, so she'll finally have time for you. And, like, you're the first person to show up at her door. Like, get a life. Like, Heather's just taking L after L this season.
I agree.
And then Lisa, like, I really do want to get behind, because I actually agree with her. Like, she's the only one who's being honest. Like, she's talking to her husband. Like, what do? My friend just got, like, how do I be a good friend while also being a good person? She's having a normal reaction. But this Mary stuff, like, she's so fucking delusional. Like, what Heather and Whitney are saying she did, she 100% did. She brought Cam around. She dropped these crumbs. She let other people pick it up. And then she flipped on them.
Also, Whitney, like, going and calling Cameron and thinking that she is, like,
doing something,
stealth of the century. It's like, you literally just fell even further than she could have ever dreamed.
You did exactly what Lisa wanted you to do.
No. But I don't think Lisa ever dreamed that she would call Cameron.
I mean, that's a best case scenario.
Take this all up as her own. Know the exact same amount of information as Lisa. And Lisa doesn't have to, like, continue to put it out there. Mm-hmm. Like, I know she thinks she was doing something, but I think she was actually doing exactly what Lisa could only have dreamed of.
No, she thought she was, like, taking her power back, and she was giving every ounce of it up. Like, it was the worst call ever.
No, I agree. And now she's in the same position as Lisa. Like, she just keeps thinking she's, like, own. And, like, and I do think, Lisa, like, there is a manipulative thing happening where she wants to talk about it. She doesn't want to be the one to bring it up. We see it all the fucking time, Shannon Bedore. Mm-hmm. And she's being called out on it. But, like, Whitney is, like, thinks she's doing something and she's not.
Yeah.
And I'm having a really hard time, like, riding for Whitney in other aspects when what we saw last night.
Let's talk about Iris and Beau.
Let's talk about Iris and Beau, Wild Rose, $1 million line of credit, $250,000 of their savings.
$20,000 for a party at your house with one photographer.
$20,000 for a photo shoot where there's no product and no updated branding. And, as Jenny said, you know, a white wall and white flowers.
It was making me very anxious. Like, I think we should shut this whole operation down.
Of course. No, but it's like, it's too late. And also, that is so much money to put into a business. Like, I think at this point, I would say they've at least put in, say, $500,000 mm-hmm. of their own dollars, like, into Whitney's skincare. Is that what it is? It's a skincare line. Mm-hmm. And that's just too much money.
Start your own business. But, like, in this day and age with, like, Shopify and all these platforms, like, you really don't need to spend more than, like, $30,000 to launch a skincare brand.
No, but, like, start small. Like, what did you spend all that money on? I mean, now seeing that she does a $20,000 photo shoot,
it's right.
Like, you know, oh, she did 30 photo shoots.
She's being, like, taken for a ride.
She should start small, make sure that there's proof of concept that people even want her new skincare. Like, you've been a housewife for one season. Like, it's not a guarantee.
No, and, like, this is what Andy talked about in one of his books, like, The Curse of Housewives, is when you think that, like, your whole life is going to change forever and, like, you have all this financial stability and you make such bad financial decisions, and it's even worse when your husband gets involved. So I really hope her husband just, like, keeps her on track, because she admitted, like, she's not good with money. And when literally someone asked how much it cost for her to put on that event at her house with a bunch of influencers who just wanted to be on TV, like, she did not have to pay any of those models, her brand ambassadors. She had some champagne, some fruit, and one woman with a camera. How that's $20,000 is beyond me. She could have done that party for $1,500.
Yeah, so I'm really concerned, and it just doesn't have to be this way.
$1 million line of credit.
I'm like, not saying like she shouldn't start a business, but like you have to start smaller, you know?
No, anyone should start a business that they want without ruining the financial standings of their families.
And without 100% of your savings, you know?
Yeah.
Sure, dip into savings. That's
what they're there for.
But not all of it. No, it was very frustrating. It was upsetting.
Yeah, especially because I can't really imagine how you spend $500,000 on the launch of a skincare line that has no products. Like,
no, but I'm assuming $500,000 for the products.
From the beginning? Oh, really?
Yeah, for like bottles and labs.
How much are you fucking ordering?
And factory. No, but that's what I'm saying. Like, she should have been ordering far less. You know, Kylie started with 10,000 lip kits.
Right.
Which, like, for Kylie was a small amount.
Right.
But I imagine, like, to start a brand, like, you do need capital. It's not like a business with no overhead. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming she bought bottles, she did lab testing, she has products, she has employees, this and that.
It's frightening.
But the photo shoot would say otherwise.
Right.
No products.
It was a rebrand photo shoot with the old branding. Make it make sense.
No, it's hurting me.
It was painful. And like, I really appreciated Jenny for calling it out. But you know what the thing is about Jenny? She has some of the worst takes of all time, like as it pertains to the ladies' drama. And like, she does have a few things going for her, but she also has a lot working against her because everything that comes out of her mouth, I completely disagree with.
I completely agree with you. She's just not cutting it.
No, she does have this Vietnamese party next week that I think becomes the breeding ground for a lot of stuff. And she seems like she starts yelling and like she needs to step her pussy up. And that's from
I know.
Sex and City. She needs to step her pussy up. Because it's really not cutting it. Like, I know, she can only ride the coattails of Carlin for so long.
I need 10 minutes dedicated to Carlin at the end of this episode. But I saw that she gets up and starts screaming, but like, I'm just praying for her that she's screaming in the right direction.
Yeah, she's always on the wrong side of history. Because I'm worried
that like, she's screaming about like, you know, someone doing something irrelevant to the situation. Next week's episode,
she's going to bring up like what happened between her and Mary at tubing a month ago. Like, yeah.
No, next week looks really chaotic and like not in a good way, you know?
Yeah, because they're all at dinner and like, I think the blow up was about Mary, not even about Jen.
Yeah, and they're all like turning on each other, like Lisa and Meredith.
Right, but they literally said it was the opposite of what they were going to do. When they got to Vail, they had this like big plan and I was all on board and nobody has followed the plan.
It's so crazy and chaotic. And we need to talk about Carlin because she saved the episode with her sophisticated taste buds. All of Jenny's kids are so cute. But like Carlin is just everything of the sort.
Can I say, I don't really have like a personal connection to Carlin like you do. So I'll just let you take the floor.
But I was looking on Twitter and like a lot of people feel this way about Carlin, that she is like the unsung hero of this season.
Yeah.
Which is she's just like so, she's so mature, which, you know, Jenny said she's a 45-year-old woman.
She is.
The sophisticated taste buds thing is like hysterical.
No, and you know, you sent me a tweet that really summed it up perfectly. Like, Carlin is exactly who Brooks Marks thought he was last season.
Thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
But no.
And but that's life just, had other plans.
Yeah, man plans.
God laughs.
God laughs. And it's just always a joy to see Jenny's wonderful children. Like,
truly. I'm glad they're using her as the asset that she is.
No, like, and for that reason, I hope she stays on the show.
No, Jenny might get a second season, and it's all because of Carlin.
No, but it's really just nice to see, like, well-behaved, respectful children on Real Housewives, because typically, I would say 80% monsters of the time, like, they really are, but maybe because they're also mostly, like, teenagers, and they're just in this rebellious phase.
And they're spoiled.
And it's, right, and it's just, like, it's hard to watch, but it's such a joy to watch, like, these kids who are so into science and food and just, like, living it's their really best cute lives.
Yeah, I agree.
It's really just sweet.
Do you want a spinoff, Cruising with Carlin?
I would love a spinoff, like, where maybe, like, Carlin goes
out. She does, like, science experiments, like, Bill Nye, like.
Carlin the science guy.
Yeah, or, like, I need to come up with a better, like, Carlin's Corner, where, like, she teaches you something new every day.
Right, but also she has this, like, sophisticated palate. Like, maybe we get her on the road with Guy Fieri, Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives with Carlin.
That's not a bad idea.
Dynamic duo. Free idea.
So cute. So all in all, it was like a chaotic episode, but it's good. Like, things are moving, and it's better than, you know, some of the franchises we'd had recently where, like, nothing moved.
Agreed.
And but then
considering
you
this is, like, the biggest drama to hit Housewives in a long time.
A lot of them, they're dropping the ball.
It's not giving me what I needed.
They are dropping the ball by, like, thinking they're doing something with Mary, but they're really just, like, letting Jen off the hook.
Yeah.
They've got to stop, like, for real.
Yeah.
I want to shake them and be like, wake up. This is like an historic moment and you're fucking drop, you're fucking it up.
Yeah. And also I felt like even with in Beverly Hills, even though they didn't like really hold Erica to account that much, like they talked a lot about the nature of the crimes. Whereas
they here, had questions.
Yeah. And like they had the LA Times article mm-hmm. and they were like, okay, we have the $20 million loan. This is a Ponzi scheme. What about the burn victims? What about the, you know, Boeing crash victims? And here it's like, if aside from that one conversation in the van, like, talk more about what's
her business
going on. Yeah. Because like for just like the lay people, we don't know what's going on. And we're just listening to Jen, it's like she just got picked up out of nowhere.
Literally.
So that would be my notes.
You also watched Sex Lives of College Girls. Tell me what you thought.
And I loved it so much.
Did you realize that girl Kimberly is Timothy Chalamet's sister?
I had seen your story, okay. So I already knew that, and that was already a fun fact.
It was like a life-changing fact for me.
Yeah, if I had discovered it after the show, I would have been life-changed, but I already knew it.
Who was your favorite character?
Honestly, I think it's Kimberly.
I despised her in the beginning, but she really grew on me. But someone who I think was like consistently funny and like the best the whole time was Bella.
Yeah, she just had like such a great attitude. And she was always getting the girls like up and at them. And she's really the reason why they're going to become this like unstoppable foursome. Yeah. So I appreciated that about her because you always need like a friend like that in college. And maybe it's because from the beginning, like you told me, Kimberly was like Dana. So I just had a soft spot in my heart for her.
Do you agree that she's Dana?
In many ways she is, but in other ways she isn't. But, you know, no one's anyone to a T.
That's true.
And I just thought she was so, so funny and I really liked her character development.
Me too. I have recently like become obsessed with Renee Layton. You know, she's from Mean Girls on Broadway.
I found that out last
night. Me too. And I followed her on TikTok and she has the most incredible voice. Like she does is sing in her car, in her house. She plays the piano. She's like one of the most talented singers of all time. I hope she does like a number next season or something.
Maybe like joins, you know, the acapella talent show
or something. Yeah. And she's a lesbian in real life. So it's just like this great culmination of her in her character. And like, I really can't choose a favorite, honestly.
Yeah. And I just, every time we spend more time on one person than another, like I really like all of the girls. And I feel like so many of their personalities are very real too. And also the way that they even like look, I'm sure they're actually like a little bit older than college age girls, but like the way that they dress, it's all very
collegey
and real. And like the parties and the themes, like it's pretty on the nose.
And the social media stuff, I think they like nailed pretty nicely.
Yeah. They did. I thought it was such a good show. I'm excited for season two. I mean, I know. Really
don't you wish you had like a bank of seasons like you could just watch?
Of course, because it was just like snackable episodes. Mm-hmm. And it was a great show.
And you know what that is? It's the Mindy Kaling effect. Like she just makes good shit, like period.
Yeah.
Like she gets the current, like she gets the culture.
Yeah.
She's almost like a 12-year-old stuck in the body of like a mature woman because she like gets it.
Yeah.
I feel that way with that other show she does, Never Have I Ever, which I don't think you would like.
No, I didn't watch it.
They're like in high school. They're like really young.
Got it. No, it just like, it was great. It was great fun watching it. Honestly, I would recommend it to all the toasters. I think you guys would like it.
Me too. I would recommend it to everyone.
Yeah. And then Yellowstone, new season. It's just giving me everything and more. Plus, they've been pushing hard the prequel in the every commercial Faith break. Hillen. They're showing us 1883 previews mm-hmm. with Tim McGraw, Faith Hill, Sam Elliott. And that also looks really good. It actually premieres next week. And I'm excited to watch that too. It looks like a lot. And it's also like 1883. So, you know.
It's a lot.
It better be good.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Well, I watched Succession, but I'm forbidden from speaking about it. So that's our show.
That's our show. Plus, like, to spoil, like, I'm not the only one who didn't watch last night.
Are you going to watch it tonight?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's our show. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know every Monday through Friday on YouTube. So if you're watching this on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So it's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places wherever you listen to podcasts. Find us on The Morning Toast. Leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. And if you made it to the end of this episode, thank you so much for actually listening to us. We really appreciate it. Why don't you go drop an emoji on our most recent Instagram to let us know that you made it to the end? How about the rocket ship in honor of the Time Person of the Year, Elon Musk, and his never-ending journey to space?
Yes, go Elon,
go Elon, go Elon, go Elon. Have a great day, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bye.